Welcome to this special podcast about WordPress. WordPress recently released their latest update, WordPress 5.4, which featured a couple of new changes in the block editor. We have David Bonfield from Stark, Florida, a WordPress contributor to this update. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, nice to have me.
So, Dave, can you tell the audience what is your background with WordPress and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm actually a full stack engineer. I've been doing this for about 15 years, fully self-taught. I started doing it in college and loved it and turned it into a career. As for my involvement in WordPress, I've been using it as a platform since about 2008, and I've been heavily involved in actually contributing to Core since about 2014. Started with just contributing plugins, then I finally started getting involved with Core itself and contributing patches, participating on tickets, participating in the dev chats, and now I'm just all over the place.
How were you able to get connected with the WordPress Core group?
So the best way is actually through Slack. There's a big Slack instance for making WordPress Core, and there's several channels in there that are devoted to the different areas of Core, like the editor, even components like site health or media multi-site. But every week there's a chat that happens on Wednesday in the afternoon for here, us on the East Coast. And that's pretty much where the entire Core team likes to gather information from all the different components. And we just kind of get a general sense of where we are in the generic release cycle. But the best place to participate is definitely on the Slack instance, because there's so many ways to get involved.
For everyone that does not know what WordPress is and listening to this podcast, WordPress is a content management system where it's actually open source, and where you'll see a huge abundance of plugins, add-ons that you can add to your website. A CMS is part of the website where WordPress was created, which was first a blog-only thing, but now it's become able to full-function a website, and where you're able to blog, easily edit and create new pages, and also has a whole directory of themes that you're able to design. And now WordPress, it's over 35% of the web, so it's a quite popular. Most likely, your website is using WordPress. And recently, WordPress came out with a update, WordPress 5.4. And it emphasizes a lot with the block editor. Dave, can you tell us a little bit of what is this update all about?
So this update actually brings a couple of new blocks into Core and updates another. The only way we can merge in changes from Gutenberg upstream is for a full-on release of Core. And so with each release brings new features that have already been merged into Gutenberg, but they lag behind being merged into WordPress Core. The first block that was added is a really cool one. It's actually the social icons block. This allows you to literally at the click of a mouse insert all sorts of little social icons for Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, GitHub, you name it. There's any social connection you can make, they're available in there. And they can all appear in line, or you can style them any way you'd like, and you can pick and choose which ones you want. The update that I talked about that was actually in Gutenberg 7.2 is the button block that had already existed in Core and in past versions of Gutenberg was now changed to a buttons block, plural. So now you can actually add multiple buttons side by side using one block editor block basically. And you could add different buttons, customize each one of them, and they basically all appear in one section.
That's quite impressive. Obviously, the Gutenberg update, like the first Gutenberg edition, was about 2 years ago, right?
Correct. Gutenberg was merged into Core in 5.0 and made the default editor for all new installs. And actually, today they're having the WP Block Talk live stream that's going on. And Matthias just put out there that there have been 78 releases of the Gutenberg plugin to date. We're not quite merged all the way up with that in Core. But with every release, we catch up and we get a little bit closer to where the Gutenberg plugin is. I do want to encourage if people want to try these newer features that are either experimental or they just haven't made it into Core yet, I encourage them, even if they're running Core, you can install the Gutenberg plugin, and that gets you early access to all sorts of features, including the upcoming full site editing. The navbar block that everybody's, widely anticipating here in five, the next release in 5.5, and a bunch of other things that are pretty much on the roadmap that Matt has put out there. And you'll get access to those a lot sooner.
Oh, so the Gutenberg plugin itself is a little bit ahead of what you see in the core.
Correct. The Gutenberg project is one that where the core development is kind of donated by Automatic and WordPress.com, and it actually runs ahead of what is merged into WordPress Core. The Gutenberg development happens on GitHub. The WordPress Core development happens separately from that. And so the easiest way to get like the raw Gutenberg up-to-date features is to actually just install the Gutenberg plugin, which is always kept up to date with that GitHub version.
And what Dave was also saying in this update, you get buttons, but also add your favorite social media icons as well. It become a little bit more interactive. Of course, social media has been so impactful that WordPress is very social media friendly. Also, what I see is there's new colors, there's gradients in the buttons, and there's more options when it comes to colors, right?
Yeah, so there's actually a lot of formatting little tweaks that have been made in the Gutenberg plugin. One is definitely the gradient, which can apply to a cover block. It can apply to a background behind the buttons. There's also now ways to basically inline color text blocks or headings. So you can actually take substrings of a full text block and individually color those to your liking.
And also featured is the media plus text block. I believe it what it means that your picture could link to another link and the text to another link, right?
Correct.
That's quite impressive. And then also cleaner UI, cleaner navigation, and easier tabbing. Of course, Gutenberg is a very simplistic feature in WordPress, which I love. Is the Gutenberg product going to be more cleaner? Like, what's going to be looking like? Way down like the pipeline.
So this all goes back to Matt's goals of the basically the foundational roadmap, which is there's the four key features, which is the editor, full site editing, then you have collaboration, which is phase three, and then multilingual, which is phase four. No one makes any bones about it. The Gutenberg product is a development product, and that's one of the reasons why the repo kind of precedes WordPress Core's version a little bit, so that the version that's distributed in Core is by its very nature a little bit more stable than the Gutenberg plugin itself. So the next thing on the roadmap is, like I said, full site editing. All hands are on deck to accomplish that goal. It was originally hoped to be finished by the end of 2019 with the release of 5.3, but that didn't happen. There were quite a few complications with the nav block in particular. But now everything seems to be on track to really push on the accelerator for 5.5. And as far as I know, the nav block will be in 5.5.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, there's a lot of a whole lot of third-party editors out there that have been developed, but WordPress want to get into that area because before it was just rich text editor. I mean, if you wanted to make it something very impressive, you had to know how to code. Can you tell the users how easy is Gutenberg now than it was before Gutenberg ever started?
Well, this also goes back to one of Matt's core beliefs, which is that basically WordPress is to democratize publishing, and that being able to control your content, change it any way you like without any restrictions, is definitely one of the key goals of the Gutenberg plugin. So any feature that enables that goal is definitely on the roadmap. Like I said, right now we're in the full site editing phase, so we're really trying to take what is now confined to just the post editor. So you're basically editing content inside of a wrapper, inside of a sandbox. We're now going to expand that sandbox to include the header, the footer, the sidebar, to where you can edit an entire page for themes that are compatible, of course, and have full control over the entire page, not just a subset of that page.
Now we're getting into the whole developer side of this update. You guys added custom fields to menu items. Can you explain what is this new feature all about?
Yeah, so this is just extending the way we've extended other areas of core, where you had. So in the past couple of major releases, you had things like register meta, term meta, these sort of things. We're basically adding more and more and more extensibility to core concepts. The nav menu, even though there's some independent development going on in Gutenberg, there's still a lot of development that can and a lot of new features that can be added to core concepts like nav menus, the walkers, and things of that nature. So we've added some custom fields to be able to not only pass custom data, but also to enhance the UI when people are editing those nav menus.
Something to definitely look at. I know WordPress is becoming a lot more easier for also for people that create content, but also for the web developers out there that want to expand what they can do and the potentiality. You spoke a little bit earlier before, I mean, all about like the whole roadmap and like the phases. When do you think that final product that Matt wants, when do you think it'll be completed?
Oh, we're certainly looking at this is a long-term thing. Like I said, the first code for Gutenberg was written in 2017, for instance, and we're just now past what we're considering past phase one. We're probably two-thirds of the way through phase two for customization and the full site editing. So we're looking at a years-long timeline here. I would say, I don't want to put a date on it, but we're definitely not looking at something that's where the vision is going to be realized in the next year or so. I think it's going to take a few years because there's a lot of work that has to go into, particularly the collaboration aspect of it, where you're going to have an editor that it's envisioned to function somewhat like a Google Doc, where you can in real time see where someone is editing on that post alongside of you. So there's a lot of things that have to be built out there. And then, of course, the internationalization part of it, the multilingual side of it, is going to take a lot of time as well. And not just from the core Gutenberg team, but also from the polyglots and just anyone who's available in IATN to help translate everything. So there's a lot of work that has to be done, and it's going to take some time.
WordPress in the forefront when it comes to technology and web. How many developers are behind the core, and how you guys, manage all that stuff together?
So it is a challenge. It is definitely people-centric, though. I will say that I'm looking here. I'm trying to pull up the stats for for 5.4, and it looks like we had 48 countries where contributors contributed to CORE. The United States by far had the biggest, but it goes down all the way to smaller countries like Serbia, Latvia, Singapore. It's really small countries. Total contributions, we had, let's see, 163 different companies that volunteered their time in terms of contributions. By far, the biggest was Automattic there, but I would encourage everybody to look at JB Odgers' blog post on the CORE contribution. It's really inspiring because these people were come from all over the world. And like I said, in terms of how these are coordinated, there's really two ways, well, three ways if you count the Gutenberg development team. What we do is we have a system in Track where basically tickets are created, they're managed, they're commented on, they're resolved, and fixes are committed and merged into Trunk in the SVN repository. We also have Slack where there's a lot of meetings in different subcomponents as well as a CORE channel. And each one of these subcomponents manage their, you know, they have a group of contributors. They all coordinate who's working on what, anybody having any issues, this sort of thing. And then, of course, you've got the Gutenberg development, which is, again, becoming a larger and larger part of CORE in terms of its overall product. That's happening on GitHub with its own team. And however, the Gutenberg development does the meetings and stuff do happen in the same Slack instance of making WordPress under the CORE editor channel.
Yeah, just reading. If you go to the WordPress.org news, you're able to see the blog. Dave is one of the lead when it comes to CORE, and there's a lot more developers under him, putting this together. When is the next update, and how often do you guys put out? Like how often do you guys have these updates ready?
So this is actually something there's been some discussions about accelerating the cadence of releasing major versions, primarily so that we can have more and more Gutenberg features coming in and coming in faster, and also just to so that these overall goals of the full site editing, the multilingual, and the collaboration, all these get realized a little bit quicker. As for 5.5, which is the next major version, the preliminary plan was to have that released in August. That has not been officially kicked off yet. We're still trying to gather a team and determine the focus leads and coordinate all that. But hopefully that should be happening here in the next few weeks. But we're looking at rough timeline of a release for 5.5 in August.
And can you preview what could be in that update?
So there were actually a couple of items that were moved from 5.4 or 5.3 to 5.5 just because not necessarily that they weren't ready, it's just that we wanted a little bit more what we call soak time for those products to mature. The big one by far is going to be the nav block. I'm fairly certain that will finally make it into 5.5. There's also a couple of other feature plugins that we're hoping might get in there. The first one being CORE Sitemaps. For the longest time, we've all had to use a plugin to enable some sort of capability for Google Sitemaps, and something like Yoast or, you know, WordPress SEO, where that would create a sitemap. Now this is going to be a CORE feature that comes with CORE by default. Another one we're looking at is lazy loading of images by default in CORE. Browsers are starting to support more and more a lazy loading attribute on the image tag. We're hoping to merge that in. And finally, CORE auto updates. This is a big one, where we've been able to do auto updates for minor versions of WordPress automatically. We're now looking to do that for plugins and themes. So you can literally go to the back end of your website and you can schedule individual plugins and themes to automatically update when updates are available versus having to manage that all manually or have a third-party plugin that would manage it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because I know there's some plugins that don't get updated. People just stay idle on it. Now, would the plugin developer have that option to enable that, or would that be automatic without their permission? Or
Yep, there's actually a couple of hooks and constant. I don't actually don't think they're constants, but I think there's a hook where you can literally just return false on whether or not theme updates are can be automatically updated or plugins can be you literally have granular control over whether or not you want either one to happen globally. But also, like I mentioned, if they are enabled globally, you can drill down to individual plugins, individual themes, and say, I want this one to auto update, but not this one.
something to definitely look at. I've been hearing a lot of talk about the widget interface being updated completely. Can you give us an update about that?
So that goes to the full site editing and customization phase of the Gutenberg project. I'd say again, from what I'm hearing, we're about two-thirds of the way through with that. The widgets interface has already incorporated the block editor quite a bit, but we're really probably by the end of 5.5, 5.6, you're going to see a pretty much full integration of Gutenberg in there when it comes to widgets.
Yeah, 'cause that was also a big issue that had been people that wanted to see some changes. But also, I think there was one part where if you change a different theme, your widgets like restart. Would that feature be fixed or?
Well, just generically, themes in the past with again, when we're talking about editing content inside of a sandbox, inside of a wrapper that is controlled, that theme, your previous themes had control over these different areas around your sandbox that you could play in and you could change. With the full site editing of Gutenberg, and if you have a Gutenberg enabled theme, you're going to be able to expand that sandbox and control all these different aspects of the entire page. So you're going to be less reliant on a third-party theme, whether an update breaks something, a widget is removed from, say, your page builder, this or that, because you're no longer, you've transformed, instead of it being add-ons to a third-party theme, these things are now going to be editable by default in the core theme.
Something to definitely look at. That's what I like about WordPress. It's just getting better and better, and the popularity is definitely growing immensely. How much of JavaScript is involved with Gutenberg and also with this core?
So core relies heavily on jQuery. Frankly, that's just because that's how everything was built out, like the admin bar, and all the different drag and drop core features in the admin. Gutenberg, however, changes that. Matt actually said when 5.0 was released at WordCamp 2 years ago, that he encouraged developers to learn JavaScript and learn it well, not just React, but JavaScript. And I have to agree with him there. React is 99% of what Gutenberg is, and you really do need to have a good grasp on core JavaScript concepts, higher order functions, just the componentized nature of a JavaScript framework. Slot fills, there's so many things that go into the Gutenberg editor. They're all JavaScript. That's not to say that PHP will disappear. WordPress will always be a PHP managed CMS, but in terms of the editor, it's extremely JavaScript heavy, and you really do need to have a good grasp of that.
Yeah, definitely. I heard that Matt really was encouraging the developers or WordPress developers to get into JavaScript, and I am myself looking at it as well. It's just like how Apple was telling everybody to get into Swift, and I mean, not saying PHP will be gone. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that JavaScript will probably be working hand in hand with PHP. What do you like to see? I mean, what have you heard from response of people using Gutenberg? Have you heard a great feedback from them?
Yes, and particularly as time goes on, the feedback gets more and more and more positive. The goal is always in the acceptable loss is that you take two steps forward and maybe one step back with every Gutenberg release. It's because there's code and best practices change over time, and this is a long-term project. So the way things were built, even in 2017, when the first code was laid down for Gutenberg, that has been refactored many, many, many times by now. The interesting thing is that when 5.0 was released and Gutenberg was made part of core by default, the product it was debatable by those who used it whether or not it was actually ready. There were a lot of things that are in there now that were not in there at the time that make it a much better experience. For instance, there's a lot more layout control. Back when you basically only had a top to bottom approach for working with the editor, adding a heading, adding some text, adding an image, and everything just went from top to bottom. Now you have the ability to change the layout inside there, where with columns and moving things around that you didn't have before. Also, just as time goes on, the product has become a lot more stable. I've actually, when Gutenberg first came out, I couldn't really encourage a change for production sites at the time. However, after a few releases and it become a more and more mature product, I started recommending it after I tried it myself and said, you know what, this thing is moving along, and it's moving along rapidly, and it's maturing rapidly. So even if someone has had a bad experience with Gutenberg in the past, or they were frustrated by it, I certainly encourage them to try it again, because it's in no way the same product as it was at the end of 2018.
Totally agree. Gutenberg now is way better when it first started. When I first started, I was a little bit like, I don't know, it's so hard to get used to because I've always coded everything out. But with Gutenberg, it's so easy to way easier to make columns, way easier to place a short code, able to embed a YouTube video. Now you're able to embed any videos from TikTok. So it's just quite interesting how much it's expanded, and you're seeing bigger companies working with WordPress. Google, for example, has their plugin where you're able to enable analytics, AdSense. WordPress is a huge player when it comes to the web. Very important. So, David, can you tell us a little bit about your website, Dream and Code?
Oh yeah, it's not much. It's really just a place where I can muse on different things and pass along some code snippets every now and then, maybe a little bit of a portfolio. It's not much. I'm actually a little bit more proud of my WordPress.org profile. And of course, everybody's welcome to follow me on GitHub and on Twitter. I actually was pretty new to Twitter. I was very anti-social media for years and years and years and years. And I finally started Twitter once I got the le a lead, not necessarily a leadership role, but a prominent role in the major releases. I felt kind of compelled to put myself out there a little bit more. And so I would encourage anybody that wants to follow along with WordPress core development, definitely give me a follow on Twitter. Or, like I said, participate in that Making WordPress Slack. That's where everything goes down.
WordPress Twitter is very, very popular, especially when you go to WordCamps, you see it more visually. Do you speak at WordCamps? And if you do, where do you usually speak at?
Not yet. Again, I was kind of I've always been a person who's liked to stay in the background and be kind of a shadow influencer, if you might call it that.
No, very good, yeah.
But I do feel like I've definitely learned a lot in contributing to core, and certainly with helping lead a major release, it is no small task. It is extremely stressful. but it's extremely rewarding, and I really feel like I want to spread the word out there about, getting involved with either a minor release, a major release, just getting involved in Korg generically. So I'm definitely thinking about applying to speak at a WordCamp, but I'm not sure I'm there yet.
You have a lot of insight, I could tell you that.
Well, that's just experience, not really anything novel. It's just experience.
and if a person wants to join the Corps, what criteria would they need, and how can they get involved?
So this is a really, really cool thing about Corps. There is no criteria. There's literally a need for any type of person, no matter what your background, no matter who you are, where you're from, what you can do, there is a place for you. If you are more marketing related, there is a marketing team that helps market WordPress. If you like to work on documentation, there is a documentations component that you can help document WordPress. There's a TV component that where if you're good with video editing or producing or audio, you can get involved there and help WordPress when they produce their videos. There's also, of course, the code component where you can get involved in a specific component like core media, core editor. You can contribute with code. There's also a great need for just people that have good project management skills to help triage bugs as they are reported in core. So there's a place for absolutely anyone and everyone that wants to participate.
What I really noticed, which I've been using a lot, is the WordPress iOS app, where you're able to update your website through there, and like they use, Gutenberg block style stuff to edit. Have you used it?
I have not used the iOS app just because I'm kind of an old fogey and I like to use it on my desktop. But I've heard good things about it, and certainly even Matt mentioned the iOS and Android app this morning during the Block Talk, that the very first one this morning, and he said those products are maturing and they're coming more and more into line with the Gutenberg editor. So yeah, your experience is not a unique one there.
Yeah, it's almost mirrored or very paralleled. And I actually run I should run a website called like the sportscast.net, and my contributors all use the WordPress app to write down their to write their articles, and they just submit it. I mean, everything, it feels like everything, not everything, but a lot of people just use like their phones just to update stuff. So it's been very helpful. I'm really glad that, I mean, because WordPress is all complete. It feels like you guys have all your bases covered, it seems like. So, really, really appreciate about that. David, what is the best way for people to reach you online?
Twitter. They can also find me on Slack. I am David B. I'm the guy in the airplane with the headset on. They can also reach out to me via my website. That has a contact form there. I'm happy to mentor anyone or answer any questions related to getting involved with Core. I understand it can be quite daunting. There's a lot of imposter syndrome that goes around. I still have quite a bit of it. I think everybody does to some extent. So I'm happy to help give someone a little bit of a push to if that's what it takes to get them involved.
Yeah, me and being involved with WordPress for the past 10 years, that's which is how like how my business started, has been very influential in my career and also in my life. And of course, attending the past couple years in WordCamp here in WordCamp Miami has been really phenomenal. It's very community based. When you talk about core or plugins or themes, it's almost like a family, and it makes like the web a lot more easier to use. That's what WordPress wants you to publish, wants you to develop, wants you to design, market. And to be honest, there's a good chance that your website or your friends or your company's website is run by WordPress. Well, David, I really appreciate you really appreciate you coming on to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. It was fun.